magnify you. We lift you up and we give you glory. We praise your name, Father, for who you are, Father. Father, you said if two or three are gathered in the name that God, you shall be there also. And God, we are invoking your presence right now. Father God, we come to the throne of heaven in grace with mercy. And Father, we ask God that you begin to allow our hearts to be shifted back to you. Let our minds and our souls be turned back to you like never before. Father, even in the midst of every adversity and every circumstance and every problem and every situation and every struggle and every stronghold and every downtrodden thing, Lord God, we choose to praise you. We choose to believe you. We choose to stand flat-footed and declare and decree that you are the Son of the living God, that you are the God that healeth thee. You are the God, God of Oshi. You are the God of this world. You are the God that's still on the throne. You are the God that still got your hand on everyone, God, that we hold shut. Got your hand on everyone. You are the God, God, that has created us and known us and shaped us and fashioned us. And Father, you are the God that you know the way that we take, that when we come out, we shall come out like pure gold. So, Father God, we come and we ask that you heal this nation right now. Heal the mind of every person and every believer right now that is weary, God, that is fearful. Father, you have not given us the spirit of fear, but you have given us love, power, and a sound mind. And with that sound mind, we choose to believe that you are shifting things in the way that you desire to shift them. We choose to believe that this disease or this virus is not bigger than your Son's name. We choose still to believe that the blood still works. We choose to believe, God, that we are healed by the power of the blood of Jesus. As it beats from Calvary's cross, as it flows, it gives us strength. It's the blood that never loses power. There's no vaccine that could ever come against the blood of Jesus Christ. So we thank you, and we give you glory. We will worship you. We will honor you. Bless those that decided to have a worship, Father. Bless those that decided to shut in but still declare and preach your word. Father God, bless their heart and their intent right now. Look out for every pastor and every leader, every apostle, every prophet, every evangelist that is still standing on the word of God. God, bless their members. Bless their congregations. Let their churches not fall. But Father, we speak resources like never before. Father, we speak, God, that you're making a way and that you're paying the bills like never before. This shall not stop your move. This shall not stop the church. But God, we thank you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name. Oh, my hallelujah belongs to you. My hallelujah belongs. from the depths of our hearts, God. We give you the glory, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll bless your name, God, even at all times. Your praise will continue. Be it above. Hallelujah. 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 You deserve it. You deserve it. Thank you.
I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Yeah, yeah. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything, yeah. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Oh, 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 I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you.
I worship and adore
you. I just want to tell you, I love you more. Oh, 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 I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
I just want to worship and adore you. I just want to tell you that I love you more than I. Adore you. just want to tell you that I love you more than anything.
Lord God, we love you. We bless you. Come on and give God praise. He's worthy of honor. He's worthy to be magnified. He's worthy to be lifted up. He's worthy to be adored. And I am just so grateful to be here. My name is Pastor Robert J. Douglas Jr. If you don't know, welcome to Restoring the Remnant Ministries International, where we believe that God is still God and he's still on the throne. That's it. The blood still works. Amen. So grateful to be here amongst you. And I know with everything going on, I don't take it as for granted that you decided to come. You know, so glad to be here. First of all, I thank God for my wife and my family. Thank God for my brother, Minister Ron Douglas, coming and fellowshipping with us. Always glad for each and every one of you, an apostle, coming to assist us in worship and just being a part. Pray God for him, and as he's making his transition to where he's going, I believe that God's favor and God's grace be upon he and his wife, and that the doors will just flood open, and that everything that they've desired and for the kingdom shall truly come to pass. And that delay is not denial, but God will open up, you know, those things for them in appointed time, in God's appointed time. So I'm grateful for him coming and spending time with us. So I thank God for him. And give it honor for all of you that's come. Praise God. Praise God. Today, I believe God has a good word, and I was thinking about it today. What kind of prompted this word, if I can, a little bit, is that when me and my wife got married, I sung to her. Yes, I did. You know, I did my crooning, you know. Did my crooning. And the song that I sung to her was, you know, from, you know, Jamie Foxx show. It was talking about how, you know, in our life, as we're joining our union together, you know, and it was a part of it that talked about, you know, there will be some bad times, but there will also be some good times. There will be some bad times, but there will also be some good times. Now, it didn't really go like that per se, but it basically was referring to the fact that our life is going to continually evolve to be whatever it's going to be. And in that time of its evolution or evolving or transforming or manifesting into whatever God has ordained it to be, there's going to be some times when things are not going to be so cool. And there are going to be times when things are going to be the coolest thing that ever been on earth. Amen. And so with that theme, I couldn't help but just look at everything that's going on now. And so I want to kind of just jump on a few things here. If you would just turn your scriptures with me, these are simple scriptures, and I want to kind of do this to kind of set a little foundation of where we want to go. Just kind of turn your scriptures, your Bible, or your tablet, or your iPhones, if they work. I'm a little crunchy with iPhones. I don't know why. But turn your Bible with me. Let's first of all go to Jeremiah, 29th chapter, and start at the 11th verse. And this scripture resonates to me so many times in so many ways, because there was a song that was done by a singer by the name of Martha Muniz a few years ago. And she sung this scripture and made a song out of it, or made, you know, use the song as a theme. And it always have stuck with me. But I want to kind of go over to a few different areas, and kind of we'll talk about it and have a brief walk with the Lord. Jeremiah 29, the 11th chapter, going through the 13th verse, and it says that, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I want you to underline that word, expected end. "Then shall ye call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, and when you shall search for me with all your heart." Now I want you to hop over to Job, the 8th chapter, and it's one scripture, the 7th verse. Job, the 8th chapter, and the 7th verse. And it says in the King James Version that, hold on. King James Version, it says that though your beginnings were small, or was small, yet your latter end will increase abundantly. I'm going to read another version of that. In the New King James Version, it says, "Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly." Another version of it says, "Although you started with little, you will end with much." New International Version says that your beginnings will seem humble, so prosperous will your future be. Keep on reading a little further. I want you to get an understanding of this. Another version of the Contemporary English Version says, "Your future will be brighter by far than your past." Holman Christian Standard Bible says that even if your beginnings were modest, your final days will be full of prosperity. International Standard Version says, "Your beginnings may be small, but your latter years will be very great." Read another one. God's Words Translation says that what you had in the past will seem small compared with the great prosperity you have in the future. Let me read another one. Let's see. Let me find a good one, because, you know, maybe y'all not getting where we're going with this. The Webster Bible Translation says that though thy beginnings were small, yet thy latter end would greatly increase. The Chinese version says, "Shong shong ni, she kwa tui." Oh, see, I'm going to make sure you're paying attention. But what I'm trying to say is that and we know the Bible to say something to the sense that your latter will be greater than your past. And so in the effort of mixing up a pot, or stirring up the pot of things for today, the topic or the theme or the text or the thought I want to leave with you today is that better days are coming. Better days are coming. Better days are coming. There have been prophecies, and I've said it myself before, about the years and the different things, 2019. And it's funny because I saw something on Facebook where they said, you know, people have been prophesizing about 2020, but now we want 2019 to come back, right? Because everything that's been going on. And with everything that's been going on, what we are going to see is, what we have seen, is a subtle shift of people's hearts towards the very things that they love. What I'm learning is that with everything that's going on, it is a subtle shifting that I mentioned a few Sundays back. It's that subtle shifting that is starting to shift out the wheat and the tares. It is not something I believe that God has put as a curse for the world. Because if I know the God that I know and know him the way that he has shown himself to me, I have to go back to what Jeremiah, or the essence of what Jeremiah is saying. Because in Jeremiah, if we were to go back to it, it talks and it says that he knows the plans that he has for us. And it's interesting that if somebody knows the plans that they have for you, then they are watching and gauging and seeing how those plans are going to come together. We have to understand that the God that we serve is the type of God that, whereas he basically calculates the risk and he begins to ordain and to construct and to put in place certain fail systems in the event that something chaotic happens in our lives. I don't know if you understand it, just like your computer or this computer. If this computer shut down, there is an automatic built-in system called restart. And when it restarts, or when I begin to select that option, it's specifically designed to go back to the foundation of how it was originally programmed and build back on the foundation of where it was so that it can get back to that place, because of the fact the end result is to get to the better days. I don't know if somebody's following me on this, because I'm feeling this thing all in the back of my head, and I just cut it off. Is that God has designed it so that if something happens in your life that was out of your control, he has a fail-safe. He has something that is in the midst of his plan, in the midst of everything that's going on. He has something designed that will make sure, or almost guarantee, that you will reach those better days. He's a good shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, because my God is with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. See, y'all don't understand, that is the failsafe, because God's word is the failsafe to make sure that even though weeping may endure for a night, God has ordained that the joy comes in the morning. See, this won't always be like this. See, God is perfecting what's concerning me. Sooner or later, it's got to turn in my favor, because I believe that it's turning around for me. My brother wrote a song, and it's going to come out. The God of the turnaround. See, we think God is a God that sits back and looks out. We think God doesn't have his hand or has his gaze put on the facets of our life that seem to be a little bit chaotic. But even though things may go astray, he can always turn that thing back to the way that it was supposed to be.
Right.
He's a God. And even though we're going through a tough time right now for many of us, ain't a tough time for me, because I ain't got to work. Praise the G, I ain't got to work, well, got to work. But I got to work at home. My job is easy, you know. My job is so easy. But it's a blessing, because yesterday, everybody's saying, like, hold up, I'm going to go home. I ain't got internet. I ain't got this. I ain't got that. I don't got, I don't know what's going to do. I need to get my money. Okay. So we had to, kind of later, had to get the systems and everything set up so they can send people home. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready. Just let me know. I got my box right here. All my stuff, my personal stuff, is at the house. Got my box of red shit. It's ready to boop, boop. Oh, just back, black. That's all I got to do. Teach, that's all. Back, back. I ain't got this neck. This. I don't need no card. I'm good. I'm ready. But you got to wait for equipment. You got to wait for a headset, right? And me and my wife was in Walmart walking around. And, got a call. You know, we do not, we do not coronavirus stuff. But we got a call. I got a call from my man. He said, hey, can you talk about, work home? I said, yeah, sure, cool. I can call you. Boom, call him. He said, Robert? I
I said, yes, Marcus. He said, hey, don't come into work. You're still going to get paid. I was, you know, in my eyes, I was like, ha, glory. Do it, God. Do it, Jesus. You better send me a prophecy. He said, don't come into work. You're still going to get paid. We're waiting for the stuff to come in. We may have to call you into work. And I'm cool because I work. I ain't got a problem working. My job is easy, really. I'm like, okay, so I'm supposed to be able to 10:30. He said, well, you're supposed to come in by 10 or 12, just wait for me to call. I'm like, okay, I'll wait for your call. I will work with you. I will wait for your call. While I'm sitting in the bed. Wait for the call. So I asked him, I said, so what does it mean that when we get our materials, that, you know, once everything's warmed up and tested, everything that we're going to finish the rest of the day at home? He was like, well, most likely in a good day, it should work. I'm like, cool, no problem. I work, no problem. Cool.
The remote system.
See, you know, and I was not joking. I was telling my wife, you know, because, you know, it takes about 30 minutes to get to work. You know, it's going to take about 45 minutes to pack and test everything. Take about an hour and a half to get back home. Another 30 minutes to set everything back up.
Right.
And then by that time, it's lunchtime. You know, so it's going, you know, it's going to take some time. But we got to put the system, right?
Really, you go.
I'm getting paid for the whole day. So either way. But what I realize is that what we have to look at, that in the midst of calamity, there is blessings. See, what you don't understand is that even though the whole world has shut down, everything is pretty much shut down. There's still people still doing those stuff. But it's a blessing because gas went down.
Mm-hmm.
Interest rate on houses have gone down.
Airplane tickets went down.
Now, airline tickets have gone down. Cruise ships, I'm still working because they just ain't doing what they, but you know, they ain't got the revelation just yet because they ain't moving. But they gonna go down too, the same. You know, you gotta sail on the water like Jesus did. He sailed on the boat. But what I'm saying is that what it has done is that now, think about it, it has now shifted the very hearts of every believer. And now, those same people, and I'm just saying, because I had a little situation in my life, that I said, okay, the same people that were prophesying or decreeing and declaring about standing on the word of God and this, this, and that, they're now shutting things down. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking what they're doing. I understand some people shut stuff down because for the sake of the thing. And one thing I said last Sunday is that as a pastor, a minister, or whatever, when you're over a congregation, be it 10, 15, 3, 5, 4, or 1, there's still a responsibility that you have, a responsibility not only for yourself and your family, but for the congregation of people that you, like, even though these benches may be empty to y'all, I still have a burden because there are people that could be here that's a part of our church that may have wanted to come to our church. There's still a burden to make sure that they're okay, to pray and intercede for them because, in fact, that's the burden of the pastor. Even though he's right here, his service may not start till this afternoon, he has a burden because he has sons and daughters that follow him and his wife, and he has to make sure that he be the spiritual example to them in times of crisis.
Right.
And for many people, what it does is separates the wheat and tares. It identified those that are like, okay, you with me, ride or die. Yeah. And then it said, yeah, I know we're going to put you on the layaway program. They're going to get you the access just yet. We're going to give you a 14-day trial membership. If you choose to invest in it, then you come on in. That's what we're going to do. But what it does, it begins to allow, if we look carefully, it begins to allow us to discern properly and begin to look at certain things that are happening in this world. But here's one thing that I like that it does, is that as I'm sitting here looking at everything shut down or everything go chaotic and everything go crazy and people on Facebook saying different things and doing different things and
right.
They're hoarding toilet paper and they're hoarding body wash and they're hoarding ramen noodles and hamburger meat. Spaghetti. I can't spaghetti sauce. Hey, everybody eat spaghetti. Spaghetti sauce is gone. They're trying to stress, so everybody's trying to make preparations and make plans and everything like that. And now everybody's worried about what kids going to go for school. Some kids ain't going to graduate and all this stuff. But at the end, in the midst of all that,
like,
guess what?
Jesus coming back today.
Exactly. He's coming back. I just ain't want him to be today. But what you have to understand too is that even with all everything that's chaotic, the sun still goes down and it comes back up.
Right.
That air still blows. You breathe it in. Maybe contaminated in some parts, but it's air nevertheless. Now laugh. You're real loud. It's a laugh church. Even in the midst of chaotic situations, you still have a sense of humor where you can laugh at certain things that's going on. Things ain't gonna always be like this. But what you begin to realize is how strong or how sure your faith in God has become. And that the word of your life has been validated in the times of calamity. Think about it. We have not experienced this before, some people say. But I beg to differ. We've experienced it before. It just had a different name. They called it an upper respiratory infection.
Yeah, that's right.
And I had three of them. You know, you're
COPD.
COPD, yeah.
Asthma.
Bronchitis. You know, allergies. Y'all wasn't breathing right when y'all were born. You know, your whole throat, you're a soprano, but you speak baritone.
Bass, yeah.
You know. Hey, Sheila. But we have to make sure that even in the midst of all this chaotic stuff that's going on, we don't serve a chaotic God.
That's right.
We serve a God that stands and sits and looks and judges and gauges everything that's going on. Think about it. He knows the thoughts and plans that he has for you, and he says that as he does things that where I haven't expected in for you already. Here's the thing that this is my own personal thing that I begin to realize with God. If God has gotten me through hell, hindrances, and high water in my times past, surely he can deliver me out of anything that's to come. Come on now. If your God has gotten you out of relationships that there was abuse or situations where you was about to go to jail or if you was on some type of alcohol abuse or drug habit or some kind of thing, and that same God, when you were in your worst days, was still with you, surely he's going to celebrate with you when the king comes and begins to take us home. That is a better day that's still going to come.
Come on.
Do not grow weary in well-doing. We shall reap if we faint not. Don't get fainted. Don't faint not right now. This is a time where you need to get on your knees and begin to pray. But as you're praying, thank God that God said, God, you know, you are still in control. You are still in the midst of everything. Even though I ain't got no money in my pocket, but you are still supplying all of my needs according to your riches and glory. I may not get everything that I need right now, but I got enough just to sustain me to get to the place where I need to be.
Yes, yes.
We got to be grateful for that little thing.
Grateful.
I know that we're going through different situations, jobs and finances and all these different stuff. But trust me, I've been through it. I know it. I know exactly. I've lost jobs, gained jobs. I had lost jobs I didn't even get. I lost a job before I even got hired. Yeah. Oh, yeah, everything looks good. We're going to hire you. Well, Mr. Douglas, we called. Just want to let you know that we decided to go to better. How'd you go to better candidate when I was the candidate that you said you were going to go with? But it wasn't God's plan. It wasn't God's will for me to be there at that particular time. Sometimes God will have you on the backside of a mountain doing something that you may not get a lot of financial blessings on, but God gives you time. See, he'll trade some things off for you sometimes. See, you may not get the money that you used to have, but you got the time to make some extra money or to give me some extra praise, and I'm going to work out some other things for you. See, what happens is that what God does, he sets you up just in case you need a miracle.
That's right.
Sometimes he wants to demonstrate miracles in your life. And if you are have a secure job and you're stuck in your own knowledge and you're stuck in your own ability, then God can't move on your behalf. He can't get the glory out of it. Because you'll be so saying, you know, I did this myself. I did this my job. But what if God wipe everything down and he sees somebody that says, you know what, God, I'm trusting and believing. And he begins to take that person that's in the back and he says, you know what, I'm going to make you truly the first and the last. You were last in one season, I'm going to make you first. Matter of fact, you've always been first because you don't have the responsibility they got. Because now they're worried about how they're going to maintain that stuff. But you know how it feels to just lose it all and start all over again. God is training us to persevere. Yeah, so you didn't look like it like that, did you? Yeah, so you can't have that little nice life where everything is all peaches and cream. Yeah, see, everybody's going chaotic now. Everybody going crazy. They ain't never been through some struggles. And I like those little Facebook posts that says, hey, if you drink from the water hose out in the back of your mama house, you are immune from the immunovirus. If you grew up in Grand Park, you are immune from the coronavirus. If you have ever ate after your cousin,
come on,
her brother or whoever, drunk after your grandma that had that breath that smelled like fat back and hot grease. If you've ever ate them sticky peppermints in your grandma's purse, you are immune because a peppermint is holy. Holy peppermint, that's really sick. And you know what kind of peppermints? Well, you know, at first you crunch it and it's hard, but you like one that kind of just mush in and stick to your teeth. Wow, I love them peppermints right there. When your grandma go to Walgreens or Woolworths at the time and get that candy pole for $5 and they be on sale for $1.50 and then they break it up in pieces and they got a little bag and you start chewing on it and the little air holes in it and be like all crunchy and you be like, ooh, grandma, I ain't want that much peppermint, but okay. You got a whole log for a whole year.
You went back with that one, Woolworths.
You immune from the community. Woolworths.
Dude, Woolworths, that was a year. I totally forgot about Woolworths.
Ecadrine. That's right. If you be having fun, if you had a candy lady,
yes,
on the corner of your street, yeah, and her husband had them fingers that looked like sausage meat, and they would give you them quarter cookies.
Right.
And you would eat them things just like they were good, fresh, like Jack. What do you call them? Jack, what's the cookie company? Charlie's Cookies.
Oh, you mean
right down from Lake. You just dropped me now.
Charlie's
Cookies. You are immune from the coronavirus. Look at God. Don't you know that God has preparing you? You didn't have purified water. You didn't have water softener systems. The water you drink on the water hose tastes just like rubber and bleach. But you, as a matter of fact, you didn't get sick. You ain't have asthma.
Uh-huh.
You had respiratory infections. Your grandmother fed you anything she could, anything. You had bacon grease sandwiches. You had fried bologna sandwiches. You wasn't vegan. You know, you were all this vegan stuff. And when did we become allergic to milk and dairy products?
It was not in there.
Sugar sandwiches.
Sugar and cinnamon sandwiches. Grilled toast sandwiches.
Oh, Lord. That was
mayonnaise sandwiches. Mustard sandwiches.
That was a weird sandwich. Wish it had some beef food.
Had little bacon crumbles. Yeah. And when you ran out of milk and your mama get that carnation milk, add some water to it, and it tastes like eggnog, and put it on your frosted plate, and you think you just got, I was me. I love that. Maybe I'm the only one.
You ain't like, how about powdered milk?
But don't you know, powdered milk, powdered eggs.
Powdered eggs. Yes,
peanut butter that come in a can, you got to get the thing.
The struggle.
The block of cheese that you make the best grilled cheese sandwiches, you'd be constipated for 4 days, but it's still a good sandwich.
The struggle is real.
Had to cut it, be uneven pieces.
Yes.
If you had a cheese cutter, it popped a little spring on the cheese cutter.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Mama had to have a celebrated knife to cut that or grate it down one, and when you grate it, didn't know. People think now they got Velveeta. Velveeta ain't no cheese.
No. That's processed.
Need something that says U.S. Government Department of Food and Health Services in blue with a brown weatherproof military grade box.
It's a grade A.
Even if half of it is mildew, cut that part off. The rest of it's still good for the rest of the year. Come on.
That's real talk.
Come on, man.
Yo, people don't
God has prepared, been preparing us. He has been training our hearts to train. And when you are a baby, you're, see, that's what I'm saying. God put fail safes in your, yeah, some people may have come out a little weaker than others, but God still put fail safes in your body. Right. When do you know that your body can heal itself?
Right.
Look, I can show you my, your body can heal itself. I got cuts on my arms from just being a kid and picking at stuff, and all of a sudden I get scabs. And I pick at it again, I get scabs. That's just God showing us, okay, I'm healing you. I put something in your system that's going to preserve you.
Right.
And here it is, and this is kind of what God has really kind of blessed me with. Because I was reading something as I was studying. And what I'm realizing is that what God does in the midst of every chaotic situation, if we understand it correctly, he is preparing us to know how to, when we get our better days or we get our place of prosperity, he is training us to know how to act when we get there. You know what this is doing right now, this season is doing? It's allowing you to be good stewards of what you have. Look at it, the lesson. This is a kingdom lesson. God is allowing you to be good stewards of what you have. Most people, most women, my wife, awesome. I appreciate her. Because she's not getting sweets and snacks and all this, you know, candy. Me personally, I'm like, okay, get some of them right there, them honey buns, get some of them pancakes, get some cake mix boxes and stuff like that, because, hey, I want to make sure my sweet tooth is gone. No, you need something that's going to keep you and sustain you. So the mindset of a person that knows how to hold a little back when times are lean and when times are plenty, let a little bit at least out, but not everything. The Bible talks about look at the end. How he gathers his stuff in the seasons where there's plenty, and he holds it and restores it. A lot of times you'll see him pulling a whole doggone branch by himself because he knows that, okay, if I pull this branch, that's for me, my family, my colony, for the rest of 2 or 3 years. I work right now for me to rest later on. But it's teaching us to know how to manage ourselves and know how to keep ourselves in times of trouble. Also, it's checking your spirit. Checking, how are you going to respond when they say that you can't do this? When you can't get those crabs and Mr. and Mrs. Crabs and your shrimp pocket and your shrimp buckets and all that stuff, how are you going to be crushed or are you still going to be whole? When you can't go to the games and you can't go to different things, when you can't do these different things, how are you going to respond? Are you still going to glorify God? Are you going to look at me and say, God, why did you do this? Why me, God? Why are you not providing? Or are you going to lift up your hands and give me praise because in the midst of it all, I'm still here? How are you going to respond? And what is going to happen, here it is now, is that it's going to shift out those that are the remnant. Zephaniah. I was reading this, and you know, somebody was reading what somebody else wrote too. I'm like, man, I'm about to take your sermon. But I was reading something that kind of was very interesting to me. So, Zephaniah, the first chapter, okay? Zephaniah talks about, and you have to understand that Zephaniah is the great-great-grandson of King Hezekiah, who's a distant cousin of Josiah, king of Judah. And in Zephaniah, which is, it's a small book of things, but it has some powerful things in it. So I'm just going to kind of paraphrase this, just kind of go in here real quick. In Zephaniah 1 and 12, he talks about how I will punish the men who are stagnant in spirit. Okay? Zephaniah 1 and 12. Okay? He says, I'm going to punish the men who are stagnant in spirit. Basically, what it was talking about is those that you know, it's like they're fervor, they're fire, this, that those, let me put it like this, those people that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, that are just rallying and talking about, oh, da, 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 when the crisis hit, you know, they're not doing anything. They're not preaching a word. They're just for the glitz and the glamour. And so with that, they're stagnant in spirit because their life or their spirit has not gotten revelation on what's going on or gotten anything that is of meat or substance, but it's just the glitz and the glamour. Praise breaks and all that stuff. Okay? Those only last for a certain amount of time. It's just like, okay, it's just like when you go to, you know, your neighborhood ponds. Every neighborhood has a pond called a sewer, retention pond. And when that water doesn't flow in static, sometimes you'll see where it's like a little waterfall that shoots out of something to move the water. When that water doesn't flow, it becomes stagnant. And what it begins to do, because it's not moving and it's still, it starts to stink. And all kinds of different things come, and you know, diseases and all that stuff, right? Because the water's not flowing, it's not moving, it's not flushing out stuff. You know, the minerals not coming in and all that same thing. Just like your body, when you don't move, your joints, your everything becomes stiff because of the fact the blood is not flowing properly in your mind. Just like your mind, if you don't exercise your mind and do something that's going to challenge your mind, like reading or just, you know, doing something that's kind of getting you to get those neurons and those firing things going, then you're going to find yourself, you know, man, I can't remember. 2 plus 2. No, you forget that stuff. You know what I'm saying? If you don't, you know, even with the Word of God, when you don't read and do the things, you become stagnant. So when it's talking about Zephaniah, was saying how the people were becoming to a place where they were getting very stagnant. They begin to, their hearts begin to get cold. They begin to turn away from the true and the living God. And it got to a point that even they was even praising the little small gods that they set up. They weren't even worshiping them. They decided to just do all this stuff and do different things and were just out there. Right? So it says that in Zephaniah 1 and 12, roughly, you know, it talks about briefly that, you know, I will punish the men who are stagnant in spirit. But in Zephaniah 2, it says, I will reach out my hand against them. In other words, he's coming and he's bringing judgment. He's going to allow certain things to happen. He's going to touch certain things. And these things are now starting to kind of turn around where it's going to start turning the hearts of men. It's going to start, in other words, he's going to create a situation where either they're going to become captive and now they have to have no choice but to cry out to the one living God. You'll find that happened in so many times with the children of Israel. When they came out of Egypt, right? They wanted a king at one time. They got a king. You know, they got what they wanted. They began to be enslaved as that stuff began to transcend. Now they're like, oh, Lord, we're being punished. We got to build this old God, this big old temple. We got to do this. And we don't have the food that we want. Oh, Lord, do you not hear our cry? And he hears their cry. He says, okay. I'm going to send somebody that's going to give you a break. I'm going to release you. I'm going to send you Moses. And they're rejecting Moses. Okay? Then they get it. Moses leads them out of the wilderness. Yeah, they done fought through sticks down and changed water and decreed and declared and trying to beg people. And he's stuttering and spitting on people. And he's trying to tell people what God said. He's trying to deal with Pharaoh. See, it's interesting that he's dealing with Pharaoh trying to get people that to be free, and these same people that were crying out to be free don't understand and see that the healer, that the deliverer is right there with them. And they're questioning his authority to do it. Nobody else is saying that we're going to bring you free, but they're questioning his authority to do it. And he got to deal with them, but still deal with somebody that he loves and try to challenge them and say, hey, you need to let these people go. I'm just saying, it ain't going to go good for you. You let these people go. And in the whole process of time, God sat back and began to have plagues on different things, so on and so forth, so on, and all these things happen. When they begin to go and get released, here's where it switches out. They begin to go and get released. He begins to allow miracles to take place where the sea splits off, and they're able to walk through just like this. Imagine a whole wall and, you know, barracudas and swordfish and all this stuff that's swimming, and we got a pathway walk through. He has provided for them to get to the other place. All right? Talks about three.
And it says in three that he took away his judgment from them. In other words, that he took away the judgment. He started to reconcile them back to him. As they begin to understand, they begin to praise him again. He took the judgment back on them. But in Zephaniah, it also talks about a few things. Okay? It talks about how, Zephaniah 3 and 13, it talks about with the remnant, okay? Whereas there are a certain people that in the midst of chaotic times, they didn't waver.
They still praise God. They still believe God. They still came and began to exercise their faith, even when they were persecuted and criticized. But here's the interesting thing about what I learned about when it came to the remnant, is that the remnant, they were not people that were haughty in spirit. They were not people that had an attitude. They were not people that were rude. They were not people that were arrogant. They were people that were humble, and these people knew and trusted God. When God spoke, they stood on it, and they just basically, they had a good spirit about themselves, and they represented God well in the midst of calamity. That's the remnant.
It wasn't stagnant. As a matter of fact, they were considered to be what was left. They were the type of people that would serve with each other. What I mean by that is that they if there was no cliques, there was no favorites, but if my brother over here is doing something at his ministry and he's serving the true living God that we believe, we're going to worship and fellowship him. If my brother over here got an internet ministry that he's doing and, you know, he's plugging in, doing what God does, saith the Lord, we're going to come and worship them. And then vice versa, they come, that's like they are today, they come and they worship, say, hey, you know what, I want to support, I want to be a part of this, get this word. That's what the remnant does. The remnant sticks together. There's no beef. There's no, oh, you higher than me. I should be preaching better than you. Or you sing better than me. I sing better than you. And there's none of that in the true remnant of God. Because they're the left. They're like, okay, you know what? Hey, there has to be somebody that's going to give God the glory, give God praise, and stand. That's what the remnant does. And what happens is in chaotic situations like this, they are constantly looking for the better day to come. In the midst of being in a pit or being in the belly of a whale, or being in a fiery furnace, or being at the unemployment office, or being in the hospital bed, or being hooked up to dialysis, or being in a place where nobody knows you, nobody respects you, nobody honors you, or being in a place where you're being persecuted, criticized, or even being in a place where you are hanging on a cross, you look to the hills for the better day. There's always hope. There's always, see, that's one thing about being at the bottom. You got no choice but to look up. It can't get no worse than where you are right now. It can't get no difficult than where you are right now. But if I can just lift my little head up and see that sun shining over there, see a butterfly fly across, then I know that there's life outside of where I, oh my God, there's something better outside of what I'm going through right now. Matter of fact, there is a bigger God than what I am dealing with right now. This situation, this problem, this struggle is not bigger than the God that I serve. I look to the hills, which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. I like the song that Willie Murphy sings. I sing it as my own anthem many years before. The Lord is my life, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And whom shall I be afraid? The Lord goes on to say that I shall remain confident in this, that I shall see the goodness of God. We have to look for the goodness of God. I'm challenging myself because sometimes I be trying to find the goodness of God in people. And I'm being honest, sometimes it's hard, but then I have to also look at, you know what, God, where is the goodness of you in me? Meaning, am I being someone that shows your glory? Am I being someone that reflects your love, reflects your kindness, your tender mercy, your holiness? That's what the remnant does. They constantly reflect holiness. This holiness, that's it. I know no other way but to be holy now. I've been doing stuff out in the world. I don't know no other way but to be. And it's like, it's not that, it's really, it's just like this. It's really not that I do it because I have to do it. That's a part of it. I do it because I want to do it. Right. I don't want my name to be in places where they shouldn't be. Right. I don't want my heart to be acting in a way against somebody when they look at me and be like, okay, well, yeah. I don't want people to have a bad name about me. Right.
When they say my name, oh, Bobby said, ooh, yeah. What you mean? And get people to wonder. And the sad part about it is, that's the sad part about what that is. That's not what I have to say about that. Anyway, we don't want our names to be contaminated. Because at the end of the day, our name should be the name of our Most High God, the name of Jesus Christ. They should see Christ in us in every aspect of our being. So right now, even when everybody's going crazy, going, you know, act out, that's what I've been doing on my job. And it's like, oh man, this coronavirus got people coming to me in masks. Yeah. Pastor Douglas, man, you know that coronavirus? And I said, yeah, this is going to be easy. Now they think I'm crazy. I said, well, yeah, I'm not worried about it. I'm covered under the blood. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they know people in China and all that. I don't know people in China. People at Chinese restaurant. I don't know about China. Now, I'm not saying don't do your due diligence. I'm supposed to wash your hands and do sanitizer and all that stuff. But I'm just covered under the blood. And this is my personal thing. I don't put on nobody else. I said, if I'm going to die from the coronavirus, I'm going to die in the house of God. Or going to the house of God. Or going and praising his name. No, I'm not going to, you know, do all the other stuff and be out there and do this stuff and do all these different things. But at the end of the day, if my faith says that I'm covered,
right?
I got sanitizer, yes. Am I going to wear a mask? No. I'm going to tell you why I ain't going to wear a mask. When you start breathing that thing for a period of time, after a while it starts to stink. And after a while it gets hot. And all this starts sweating and you just uncomfortable. And just, that's just me. Now, if I need to wear a mask, I'll wear a mask. But right now, no. That's my faith. Not saying that I'm killing anybody that does, but I do believe, wash your hands, be sanctified, do all that stuff. Like even now, when we came to do this, they asked us about, you know, why are we doing this for, you know, how many people, so on and so forth. And I told them, well, we're pretty much spread out. But if they said to shut it down, I'm going to abide by the laws of the land. And we're going to shut it down because I have to. Because as a Christian, not as a citizen, as a Christian, the Bible tells us that we must obey the laws of man. We must. And I will agree to that and do that. But until that time comes, we in our house, we're going to praise God. And here's this. I don't know what I'm saying this, but maybe somebody. Like I asked my wife, I said, do you think I should do this, this, and this? I asked for her opinion. You're like, well, you feel this. And what I mean by that is, I'm not being arrogant. I'm not being, you know, anything. I'm consulting people. I put a post out to just our people. Say, hey, if you feel like you need to lock in and do whatever, that's cool. That's fine. No problem. We're going to do this. We're going to try to get this going. But if you can come in fellowship, come in fellowship. If you don't want to, that's fine. No problem. No love law. It doesn't take nothing away from your faith. It doesn't. Because in your heart, you know what you believe. In your heart, you know what you believe. Our father had some medical issues that he had a kidney transplant. He couldn't be around certain things. So wisdom, okay, yeah, pop. You know, you do your thing. I get it. Nothing we can do, right? But what I'm saying in all of this is that operate in the vein that God gives you. And when God gives you another vein or another way or an opportunity, shed that light, shed that glory, shed that grace, shed that wisdom, because people are in need of a savior. They are in need of hope. They are in need of a way out. They are in need of things. And this is the opportune time for all of us to be, you know, instead of being behind this little pulpit, each and every one of us has an opportunity now. That's why I appreciate what my brother's doing. Even when he's traveling to wherever he's at, D.C., whatever. He hops on the Facebook, sings and worship and gives people, you know, the word of God. They, all the time, I see him and his wife. They're doing prayer and doing different things on the internet and whatnot and different things like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We're coming here. And God may have us do some other things. But use that opportunity. You have just as much power as I do, as they do. If you believe the word of God, you're saved, you're sanctified, God has given you the ability, you have a testimony, share your testimony. And if people say, you know what, I'm scared about this coronavirus, are you scared? I say, you know what, I'm being cautious, But I believe that God has, I pray that God protection for my family and my family's family, and I pray that God puts protection for your family. And I believe that God's going to get us through this. You ain't got to be all political and science. God's going to get us through this. So I was going to give him praise in the midst of it.
Right.
I'm praying his protection. Because there's going to be some better days. Matter of fact, a lot of people talk about the people that have died about this thing. They never talk about the people that started to come out of it.
Right.
There's been a post out there that's like, what, a few thousand people in the whole nation starting to like, kind of just dwindle out. It won't always be like this. Now, there's going to be a time when things are going to shut down. And you'll be persecuted for just coming and fellowshipping together. There is going to be a time. And when that time comes, we will look up and we'll be looking for the glorious hope of our Christ coming soon. Because the tribulation is coming. People start disappearing and floating up. Y'all can't corona. Y'all worry about coronavirus. Let's get our hearts and our mindset.
Right.
Get them souls saved. That's more accurate. I want to give God praise. Hope y'all got something out of this. Pray that, you know, God is giving you something that would encourage you. But I just believe that there are better days to come. Matter of fact, I believe, and I'm going to speak it, that you're going to start seeing some things shift in your life this week. I believe it. I believe it. Shift, shift. I believe God's going to shift some good things. Some good things going to happen for Keisha. In Jesus' name. Good things happen for Keisha and her family in Jesus' name. We send them blessings. God, matter of fact, let me put an extra prayer on Keisha. Lord, let your anointing, grace, and your favor and your protection cover everything that she got a hand on, everything that she wear and her children wear. I speak that blessing over our families in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. If you would like to sow a seed into this ministry, you can do so by going to our website or we have a basket right here. Or you go to givethefly.com. Feel free to support our ministry if you need to. You know, you thank God for what he's done so far. Thank God for what he's doing. Our church is still sustaining. You know what I'm saying? God's still sustaining and doing a way, making a way. And I'm so grateful for that. But I pray that even in the midst of all this, that you find peace in what God is doing. I pray that your hearts and your souls are not troubled. I pray that God will allow you to see him in a different light. I pray that God will allow your family, your children, to show or to see the Christ characteristic operating in you. Because what's happening now is that our children spend about eight hours of a day at school, right? Now they're going to be home with you. And you're going to see how bad your kids are at school. And your kids going to see how you act when they ain't around. Amen? There's going to be some beatings in Jesus' name, boy. There's going to be some, woo. It's homeschooling. Somebody put a post out. Yeah, praise God. They put homeschooling. They put prayer back in schools and whippings back in school. It's going to happen this week. It's a prophetic word. And you're going to beat that child. That child going to get tired of being on that computer. Like, it's going to be fun. First few days, first hour, it's going to be fun. Oh, yeah, we at home. Yeah. That next day. I'm hungry. I'm sleepy. I'm hungry. I don't feel like doing it. How am I? I'm going to lay down. Can I take a nap? No, you can take a nap. You can take a nap before you get up. Matter of fact, get on the bus and come back. Come back to school. Bus going to pick you up. Go to school. Get up early. Get up. Like, keep everything the same. Sing a fire line. Don't want to get bathroom breaks. Wash your hands. All that good stuff. Amen. I want to give God praise. Amen, 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 amen. Let's all come together and pray. Nope.
to
ATM line, because you'll lose it.
Probably will. I need to go to ATM and get him to take care of it. Okay. Okay. Okay, all right. Yeah. Let's come on, let's gather in, we can grab hands. Anointed hands, these uncontaminated hands, I press and speak the blood of Jesus to fall upon them. You said, God, in your word, that you have given us the anointing upon us, and we have been anointed to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Father, with these hands, we lay hands on the sick, even if it may be us. Whatever, God, that may be lying in us that we don't see, we pray right now that it be eradicated now in the name of Jesus. Right now, full authority over every sickness and disease, and we plead the blood of Jesus over the lives of ourselves and our family. And Lord God, as we come together, Father, in faith covenant agreement, we stand in faith covenant agreement that, Lord God, that you are doing a work in this nation, that this is an opportunity for revival like never before. Father, the things that have been restricted that people have free access to, God, we pray and speak right now, God, that people will flood gates of the church, will flood the internet to hear a word from you in this time of sorrow and grief for many people. But God, we thank you that we still shall stand on your word. We stand on your promises. We stand and we look for the better day, God. We know that the better days are coming. We know that you have never lost a case. You never lost a battle. And Father, we thank you. We thank you like never before. That you're enlarging the territory of your people. That God, you are allowing us to have platforms like never before. Not platforms for our fame and our glory, but platforms that will heal and deliver the souls of your people. Put us, God, in the places where people that need to hear a word from you, to let them know that you are the God that healeth them. So God, I pray that a great move, a great revival will come forth like never before. Touch right now. Touch, deliver, touch every family member, touch their household. And Father, as these kids begin to go back to school online, I pray, Father, that a supernatural focus be upon them. Let them like never before get their lessons and training and let them be advanced in this year. I speak right now that every teacher that has prepared every lesson and done everything, Father, even bless them, God. Touch those. Touch the healthcare workers. Touch the doctors and the lawyers and the EMT professionals and everyone that emergency response and all these people that have to come in contact with different things in their life. Put your blood of protection upon them and their family. And I speak life and restoration upon them. For Father, we thank you that we are healed, we are delivered, and we are set free in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on and give God praise and love on the Bible. Supposed to be like 1:30 or so. You got your care on?
Huh?
Getting care on?
If they're gonna go.
Wait, what cafe?
Chicken.
Oh, okay.